Kids are asking to know the truth. What government schools are teaching does not include God's Word. We're talking about science. We're talking about truth. And we're talking about biblical worldview with Dr. Carrie Beal, professor of biology at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Next on the Clearly Christian Podcast.
Welcome to the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith. It's time to know more so you can say no more. It's time for the Clearly Christian Podcast. Here's your host, Dr. Cy Smith.
I'm Dr. Cy Smith, and this is Clearly Christian, a podcast about what it means to see the world from God's perspective and then the impact that this has on training the next generation to live a life consistent with the biblical worldview. If you like the show, you've been listening for a while, I'd encourage you to leave a review or hit the subscribe button. That'll let others know that the show's worth listening to, and it'll certainly help us make a difference and advance the cause of Christian education. Our guest today is Dr. Carrie Beal. She's a biology professor at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. She's also an award-winning teacher. She's an author, an advisor, a speaker, and a Christian school board member and a parent at the school where her son attends middle school here. So on several fronts, she's well-qualified and well-experienced to speak to our topic today. So I know you're going to enjoy our conversation. I'm excited to present that to you. But first, let's go to school and let's set up today's episode and tell you what we're going to be talking about. Today, I need you to know more about how worldview impacts what we teach and how we teach it, and how specifically the Christian worldview chases hard after truth in every subject that we teach. Years ago, I remember talking with a colleague about how the radical left is attacking America's Christian heritage, and specifically doing so by infiltrating the curriculum through materials such as the 1619 Project and critical race theory. He worried that history would soon go the way of science, and he made this comment. He said, "You know, we've lost science already as Christians." And I was a little taken aback by the abrupt nature, the factual tone with which he made that comment. So it gave me cause, and I certainly wondered about that and thought, is he right on this? Have we lost science already as Christians in our society? Well, fast forward to the work of Christian apologist Sean McDowell, who I recently had on as a guest in the Clearly Christian podcast. In his book entitled So the Next Generation Will Know, he cites survey after survey with student after student, thousands upon thousands, and says, listen, by far, and we mentioned this before, by far the number one reason for young people not converting to Christ or young people leaving the faith was this idea of intellectual skepticism from unanswered questions. So it certainly gave me pause to wonder, just what questions do they have? If these questions are unanswered, what kinds of questions are they actually asking that they're not getting answers to or that may be driving them away from the faith? Well, he lists them, thankfully, in the book. And he said, listen, thousands of surveys, thousands of students, here are some of the most common questions. Let me read for you just a few of those common questions that emerge in his list in the book. Number one, what scientific proof do you have that God exists? If evolution is true, why should I believe in God? Why should I trust something on faith when I could use reason? Why does science seem to contradict the claims of Christianity? Why would an all-powerful God allow so much evil in the world? How can I be sure Jesus really arose from the grave? And it goes on and on like that. But notice explicitly the top four that he lists in his book, cited most often, explicitly deal with the subject of science. Obviously, where are kids getting these ideas? Does it appear that the scientific ideas that they're being taught and they're learning, perhaps in school, are being presented as theories or truth? Because it certainly seems like, according to these questions, that kids are learning that science and Christianity are incompatible. If these responses are any indication of what this generation thinks and believes, then perhaps my friend was right. Maybe we have indeed lost science to the secular worldview. Listen, what kids learn in school matters. I know that's a gigantic understatement, but I'm not sure parents always see the bigger picture here. If we don't consciously equip this next generation, our kids, with a biblical worldview, then they're going to unconsciously absorb whatever worldview is being presented to them, especially that by the culture at large. Of all the subjects that we teach in school, one could make the case that science should be the most difficult to teach without God, because we see God's hand in everything all around us, from creation to the laws of physics, of course, from astronomy to human biology, from chemistry to botany. The truths of these subjects can always be traced back to the mind of God, and it seems so obvious. To think otherwise requires a tremendous stretch of the imagination and some incredible faith in unproven theories. This is why God said that we can understand him through studying creation. He said in Romans 1:20, his eternal power and divine nature can be clearly seen from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And he put that verse in there for a reason. I'm like this. See, it's all around you. Again, that's the field of science. Well, this is what we want to talk about with our guest today, because she's a specialist in this particular area. So we want to look at these questions and look at why kids are perhaps emerging from schools so confused, or maybe life just so confused and the culture so confused. We're just not sure, but let's explore that today. And again, I know you're going to enjoy our conversation. Let me wrap up this introduction by just making two quick chalkboard points. Number one, if studies show that children are walking away from the faith for unanswered questions or intellectual skepticism, then let us with confidence answer those questions in the Word of God and the life of Christ. This is what we do in Christian schools, combining those two things. And chalkboard point number two, again, if you don't consciously equip the young children, the next generation, with a biblical worldview, then they're going to unconsciously absorb the worldview around them, or that worldview of today's culture. John Stone Street, who's the president of the Colson Center, said it like this: if you do nothing with your kids, they will be brainwashed. And that's a powerful statement. We can't shy away from giving them the truth that they so desperately want and desperately need. And now you know more. And as I like to say, when you know more, you can do more. You can not only think differently, but you can act differently, and you can say no more when you must. So with that, let me bring in Dr. Carrie Beal. It's a pleasure to have her in our studio today, presenting again on science. And let me read for you a little bit her background, her biography. Again, she's a professor of biology at Mount Vernon Nazarene University here in Ohio, where she's taught for 17 years, also serves as the chair for the Department of Biological, Physical, and Exercise Sciences. She has a PhD in immunology and molecular pathogenesis. I got that right, from Emory University. She completed a one-year fellowship at the Department of Neurosciences at the Cleveland Clinic prior to joining the faculty at MVNU. She's an active member of the National Association of Advisors of Health Professions, and during her time at NVNU, she's won several awards, including most recently the award 23-24 Award for Excellence in Teaching. So it's a privilege to have her, and we go way back as a student here as well. And so it's just an honor to continue to track your career and watch how you've grown as a young person and now as an adult and so accomplished. So again, super, super proud of the work that you're doing and glad to have you with us today. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good. Appreciate that. All right. Well, let's just jump right into the question. So you heard my setup there and you heard this big idea. And again, I've probably scratched my head several times, even yet today, saying, yeah, is that accurate? Would most people, maybe even most Christians, say that, especially at the college level? And of course, this is a field that you study regularly. So you're tracking journal articles, I'm sure, on science and things like that. And you see, you know, maybe the next generation, what you get in that comes up to college. So would you agree with that or not? I mean, have we as Christians really lost science to the secular worldview?
Honestly, I would hope not. I know there's some that would say that we have, but I think that's a little bit too strong of a statement, to be honest. I think a lot of secular scientists, they have a view that if you are a Christian, you can't practice true science. I mean, there is definitely some bias in that regard, but it's interesting even to look at it from a historical perspective. So what many people don't understand is that some of the key scientists that you learn about in school, that you hear about, Joseph Lister and Louis Pasteur, and even Francis Bacon, who's credited with coming up with the scientific method that all kids study in school every year, whether public or private school. I mean, he was a devout Bible-believing Christian as well. And so we still use these key principles that have withstood the test of time, and yet they were developed by Christians. And so there's actually a strong historical perspective in science that comes from, again, these Bible-believing Christians, and yet we don't teach our youth that today. So again, foundationally, Christianity has played a very important role in science, and I think it's still true today. I think when you teach science from a secular perspective, you're losing something. I mean, as you stated in your opening, God continues to reveal himself to us through his creation. And why we are even so afraid to entertain that possibility, I find that honestly concerning. If we really want students to understand science, it is all about observations, evidence, reproducibility. And when you approach science without that bias, you continue to see, you know, God the creator.
Yeah, great points. And it could be that we're just not addressing those things, all those things that you mentioned. So in those government schools, when I'm trying to present that without God, I just can't include maybe some of the obvious things. Am I going to talk at length about the faith of Louis Pasteur? Probably not. I'm going to just hit what's the bottom line, but I'm going to leave out that other big chunk. And that's probably how it's approached.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. Their hands are definitely tied in what they're able to present, which is why I obviously appreciate the availability of Christian education, whether in the elementary or secondary level or even in higher education.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, we're constantly seeing, you know, the hand of God revealed, or we're constantly understanding more about God the more we know and the more we see. And that reminds me of when we introduced STEM here at our school years ago. And I remember as I was preparing the launch of STEM and the banquet speech and all that, and of course, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and how much STEM was rooted in, I mean, these great innovations that are really built this whole field of study for us, you know, especially the science piece, were all from looking at God's creation. And, you know, but we didn't always call it that, especially not the secular. Look and saying, could we replicate this using technology? You know, could we replicate, and I always think of some of those examples, you know, the suction cup, you know, and the frog's feet, and, you know, and then the owl's vision. I mean, there was just all, and I remember Velcro, you know, came from the sheep's wool and things sticking to it as it went through the field. I mean, I remember researching and all these analogies and going, we're looking at creation to obviously to make the world better. And we're looking at creation with this tremendous awe-inspired, like, wow. This just works. How in the world could this not be the result of Creator?
Yeah, I would obviously agree with you.
Right, good, right. Do you hear some of those same questions that I mentioned as well? I mean, did you ever come in, you know, and do you notice a trend, kids with public education versus private education? What are you hearing in as a college professor?
Yeah, I mean, you raised some good points. You mentioned in Sean McDowell's book some of the top questions that students are wrestling with. I definitely hear it at the collegiate level as well. There's going to be some discrepancy between kids who went to a secular school, where, again, I think we can agree science is one of the most contentious subjects taught between believers and non-believers. And so if you have a student that went K through 12 in a secular public school, and they are, you know, consistently hearing about evolution and natural selection, but then they're maybe going to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night and they're hearing about God the Creator. And so I think they do tend to have more struggles bringing that together and aligning that. And I think that's where then you come up with kind of the so-called middle ground of theistic evolution. Okay, I can say there's a God, but then he kind of just started it. And then from there, everything evolved through natural selection. So that's a common one that I hear. And then you have distinctions, of course, with students that went to a conservative Christian school where faith integration is key in their education. And so they are going to approach science from a different perspective for sure. And so part of my job and why I love teaching at MVNU is that ability to integrate faith in the classroom and really try to, you know, always go back to Romans 1:20. That's one of my favorite verses. Yeah. And just to continue to show them how God does reveal himself in creation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You ever get any pushback from some of those other kids? I mean, I know they probably think, hey, I've chosen Mount Vernon for a reason. They know it's a Christian college. But do you ever get any that say, wow, you know, hey, I am a Christian, but this does not this does not run parallel to what I learned in my government school. Do you ever get that brave child that raises their hands and I'm not sure I believe this? Yeah.
There's always those few for sure that want to challenge you. But again, that's why I love my job. I don't believe in approaching anything from an antagonistic perspective, but let's really just sit down. Let's have the conversation. Let me understand where you're coming from and what you've learned. And then let me try to show you through my lens where I find maybe fault with that or fallacies. And we don't always come in agreement and seeing eye to eye. But I still think approaching that from, you know, a position of mutual respect is always important. But absolutely, there's going to be those students for sure.
Yeah. Is there any patterns or themes in those questions that you think, here's one or two that every year I present it, it's always a stumbling block for kids because they have not been taught this? Is there any that really stand out, or are they pretty much just exactly what Sean said?
Yeah, I mean, it's really what Sean said. It's really, again, when you have been indoctrinated, when you are young, you are extremely impressionable, and you have just spent 13 years in a public school system being told this is the way it is. It's all evolution. It's all natural selection. And then you come to a Christian university, or even if you don't, right, and you continue to wrestle with your faith. And how do you bring in the God of the Bible, Genesis? And then how do you rectify that with what you've been taught in school? And that is definitely the most difficult thing that I see students struggle with and really struggle with, again, the validity of Genesis. You know, is it accurate? Is it authentic? Is it exaggerated? Is it literal? It always comes back to Genesis.
Yeah, that's a great point. Do you think, is that then what, you know, for the listener out there that still doesn't maybe understand the difference between Christian college and public university, is that, you know, do you think that's the approach of most Christian colleges? Hey, we have to start with some of this basic foundational stuff because I may need to kind of debunk some of the stuff that you've learned before. How different do those approaches look?
No, I think they're vastly different. I've only taught in a Christian school college, to be fair. But obviously, being able to integrate faith into everything we do is essential. I mean, it's actually mandated here. Like, it is part of our job. It's part of our calling. It's why we're here. It's very similar to Mansfield Christian. It is the reason we are here. I mean, we want to give an excellent education above all. I mean, I'm very passionate about that. But I think Christian education should excel in all areas. So they're going to get a quality education in the classroom. But again, like you said, from day one in those entry level courses, like, let's start to view this through a biblical lens, or at least remove those biases. Like, maybe we can't change things immediately, but let's remove some of the inherent bias that is incorporated into a secular education. And let's start to look at maybe where creation can play a role. And again, always going back to the Bible, like, God continues to reveal himself in his word as well. And nothing that we see in creation is in contrast with biblical truth. So definitely at a Christian college, you're going to start that from year one. And then as you advance in your education, you know, we start to get into some of that more detailed subject matter. And that's where really think God reveals himself for sure. When you start to get into those nuances and the cellular, the molecular level, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever get any kids to say, hey, why didn't I learn this before? Why was the truth hidden from me? Do you ever get any kids that are just kind of perturbed? Like, I never got the why. I got the what, but they never told me why I needed to know this. And now I find out after going to Christian college that it wasn't even true.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's that strong. I think what I get most excited about is the realization. Like, there's definitely some key moments in my classes where it is almost this aha. Like, I show them something that is overly complicated on purpose just to say, like, we're studying this one little minute detail, teeny tiny piece of information. But, like, let's put it in context here of what this actually looks like. And how, right, if you remove this one piece, everything falls apart, or I mean, we die, or we develop cancer, or something like that, but yet it doesn't happen. And so to me, that's what I love. It's just seeing this realization come over them of, oh my goodness, like, how could, it's just mathematically impossible that any of this had happened by chance. So I don't say I see them get upset. I just see them becoming more excited and more fascinated. And honestly, I love that more.
Yeah, those aha moments in science have to be fantastic. I mean, I would think those are just the highlight for you because you know what's coming. And you're going to say, oh, wait till I hit them with this.
Like I said, there's those key moments. We spend the semester building or even teaching anatomy and physiology. Yeah. I love it because, I mean, where else can we see God's creation more beautifully than in the human body?
Yeah, for sure. So I would imagine, yeah, you probably have a combination of there's consistently evidence that you've been presenting to these kids throughout the year. But then there's also those aha moments that are just, or let's say big moments that bring the aha that, oh, okay, now it all builds. And this lesson really brought it all home in science. And that's just got to be a real, that's got to be a real joy, especially to be able to say, I'm going to draw a conclusion here. That's what's always fascinating to me about how the other side teaches these things. I'm going to teach you all this stuff, but I can't draw a conclusion and say, therefore, this is right and this is wrong. Nope. This is what we speculate. This may be true. It may not be. Certain beliefs say this, certain beliefs say that. You know, you're going to have to find whichever one makes the most sense to you. And I think maybe by and large, they've kind of given up on that. And then I think by default, a lot of people in the intellectual community have said, well, this is science. Again, mm-hmm. let's move religion off the table. This is science. Science has said X, Y, Z. You know, and Christian colleges and Christian high schools are saying, no, this is, you cannot remove the faith position from this discussion because God is all about science. There is no science without God.
I mean, I would 100% agree. And I think it's also fascinating to me when I think about the secular approach to science is being, I feel like there's fear in admitting what we don't know. Right? Because when you introduce uncertainty, it opens the door for, well, maybe this is a possibility. Maybe this is true. And there's so many places in science where an evolutionary viewpoint does not align at all with what we understand, especially the more that we learn. And so I also try to just present that as we should always be asking questions. That really is what science is all about. You ask questions, you make observations, you do the experiment, needs to be reproducible. And what you get is what you get. And so, yeah, that fear with asking some of those questions. And that's sometimes what we talk about in my classes as well. And they'll admit from their coursework, like, yeah, that was never even presented as, you know, why is that problematic? A simple example is, you know, a virus, which viruses make us sick, right? They cause the cold, they cause flus. They're super simplistic in structure. From an evolutionary standpoint, they would have come much before a cell. But a virus needs a cell to reproduce itself. So then where did the cell come from if it's more complex than the virus, but yet the virus needs the cell? And so just these little nuances, they definitely have learned these things in their education. But really that question had never even been posed to them. So like you said, I mean, there are some of these aha moments, but it really is, I think, more of a like gradual, consistent realization. And that's where, again, Christian education is so important to me because it can't just be one moment every 2 years where there's some realization that they make. It needs to be, like I said, consistent, embedded in their coursework, just so that they see in every step of the way God's hand and God's design.
Yeah, I love that idea too about asking questions. And I think sometimes Christianity, or there's a stereotype that, well, yeah, you're going to say, you know, yes, God's the right answer. Again, God's the trump card. So if you can't explain it, you say, well, that's just God, how God designed it, blah, blah, blah. No, we welcome questions, you know, when we're teaching, you know, Christian-based science, because we know eventually the more questions you ask, eventually you'll have to get back to the bottom line, which will be there can be no other reasonable explanation here other than an intelligent creator who said, yep, this is what has to happen for this to work. And so, you know, we welcome questions in science and we want you to dig. And that's like you said, that's what the scientific method's all about. So if you're saying, well, you know, we're not going to welcome that, or we're not going to dig a little further, this is just the way science presents it. Boy, that's not a position of Christian education. Go ahead, dig. We guarantee you, ultimately you will uncover the truth. And we are absolutely not afraid for that truth to be exposed, because that will lead you. I mean, how many hundreds of stories have we both read about people who set out to disprove the faith? Scientists, journalists, right? I mean, they're like, this, no way this is true. I'm going to set out to disprove it once and for all. And then a year or two later, they go, I'm a believer. You know,
all the time. Yeah,
all the time. That's exactly right. You know, the closer they get, the more scratching they do, they uncover, wow, this is accurate. There can be no other way. Philosophers, like I said, all fields. I love that. Well, that's a good segue into, you know, Sean McDowell brings that in his book, and just to get your thought how this might be presented, you know, hey, for every concept, teach, you know, two whys for every what, you know. So for every big concept you present, this is what we're going to learn about. Here's today's subject matter in molecular pathogenesis, right? Which I have no idea what that's about, right? But again, you need to know this. Here's why it's true, and here's why it matters. And so I think that's so key to science. And so, I mean, would you gravitate to that and to say in science, yep, that's exactly what we do in Christian education, is trying to present those things, because that just makes sense for good teaching.
Definitely. Just to give you a little education, pathogenesis just means onset of disease. So that's really what I study. Like, how does disease start? And then the immunology part is our immune system. So, and again, God is all over that. I could go into that for an hour, but I won't. But yeah, I love the concept of two whys for every what, especially with this generation. Like, we have studied Gen Z a lot, and know that Gen Z does not want to just be spoken to. They want to be active participants in their learning. So it's not that they're not interested in the what, but they are unsatisfied with only knowing the what. So we can't just go into a classroom and say, you know, this is this and this is that and this is how it works. It's the, well, why? And again, I think in science, that is what I love getting to do is, yes, we're going to learn this. Because again, you're going to get an excellent education. Like, you're going to know all the what's, all that you need to know. But we're also going to talk about, like, why does it matter, right? Why is it important? And then, you know, why do we see creation through this? Why do we see God in this? And so I think that's a key point in Christian education. And again, not shying away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that phrase too. Like you said, active participants, right? And back to what I said, you know, 10 minutes ago, STEM, you know, is one of those subjects just like in the others, but kids love it. I mean, you and how many of our students, STEM is their favorite class. Why? Because it's one that they feel very actively involved in. They're constantly getting their hands dirty. They're constantly working with materials, even if it's just coding. You know, they're constantly actively involved, engaged is the word I'm looking for, with the materials. And they love that. And what I love is what we see coming out of those things, and science included. We see innovation. We see critical thinking. We see creativity. You know, those four C's that we love to talk about, communication, collaboration. We see those things coming out of active engagement. And then we see new products, new designs, new thinking, new theories that we can test and things like that. So it just spurs kids on the more actively they participate in this learning. So when you give them the two whys for every what, I mean, it's a game changer. And especially I would think at the college level too, where I'm deciding, do I want to do this for the rest of my life?
For sure. And I mean, you touched on a key phrase, right, with critical thinking, which is really what we want all our students to do. And that's where the whys become important. Because if you are just feeding them information, you know, they might be able to memorize it and feed it back to you. But if we really want them to engage in critical thinking and develop a strong worldview, we need to be presenting the whys and having them think through it, not me tell you why. Like, I want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. And so again, we're going to give the key information they need, but really they need to think through this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Well, you're also a parent, and I would imagine there's a lot of parents out there that probably say, you know what? The two toughest subjects in school, stereotypically, of course, are math and science. I was glad to pass them. You know, people like, I loved it, but it's hard. And that's probably an area that I feel I struggle with, maybe, you know, helping my child, you know, even in if it's middle school science or something like that, or making sure that they understand these truths that, you know, Dr. Beal's talking about here. So, you know, it's one thing to your son or daughter comes home and says, hey, can you proof my English paper, or can you read my speech I've got to give tomorrow in history class, things like that. Most parents feel pretty comfortable there, but science, ooh, boy, I can't talk about the virus in the cell the way, you know, your teacher can and things like that. So any advice for some of these, maybe even young parents out there, when they're thinking about, wow, this is kind of an awesome responsibility to make sure my son or daughter understands science from a biblical worldview. I mean, is it as easy as, hey, just send him to a Christian school and everything will be great? Or what do you try to do? What should the average parent try to do when it comes to science?
That's a hard question. I think, let me think this through. So it is a huge responsibility to be a parent. I mean, like you said, I'm a parent. I feel that. I feel the weight of it, which is one reason, you know, I work in Mount Vernon, but my son is at Mansfield Christian School. So when it was time to send him to school, we actually moved to Mansfield, and then I commute because I do feel right. It is my responsibility to raise him in a way that will be pleasing to God. And so part of that to me was ensuring that he received a solid education, but rooted in a biblical worldview. And so I think honestly, Christian education is a huge piece of the puzzle. I can't speak for all Christian schools. I think it's like churches, and you need to do your homework and make sure that you are sending your child to a school that is not just Christian in terms of its label, but like really getting into the curriculum and what they're teaching. And one thing for my son this year in seventh grade, he would bring home his science book sometimes. And like you said, even for me, I'm reading through it and it is hard. But the reason I actually love the curriculum is it's definitely teaching it through a biblical worldview, but it's also presenting how science is approached from an evolutionary perspective as well, because I think it's important students understand that, right? If they're going to defend their faith and if they're going to defend what they believe to scientists or talking about science, like they need to understand the whole picture. And so I think as a parent, you do need to be an active participant in your child's education. And even if it means you don't understand all the detail, you understand enough to know that what they are hearing is rooted in the Bible, is rooted in truth.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yep, great point. And I don't know if the general public realizes that, because I think everybody just assumes that we probably just present one side of things and say, yep, this is right. But that's far from the truth. I know in junior high here, I mean, we're making sure right out of the gate that, yep, we know we've probably spent the whole elementary talking to you about how God created the world and we respect what he created and you're made in God's image. And we've built up that good foundation. Mm-hmm. But then in junior high, we really introduce, that's not what the world believes by and large. And here's another view out there. And here's exactly what this view believes. And so we make those kids study evolution kind of inside and out and really try to make sure they understand it so that they can do exactly what you just said and say, oh, and now I see the flaws there. I'm not just going to say, well, it's wrong because my mom said so and my dad said so and Mrs. Johnson said so and all my teachers say so. And that is good enough, right? That is good enough. However, there's a reason why they say so. It's because we've all studied this and now you need to study it as well. So I don't think that gets enough attention, I think, in Christian education that, you know, what is it? Edmund Burke is, you know, you don't understand your own argument if you don't understand your opponent's argument.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to make sure that you're, well-versed in both sides there. And that would hold true not only in science, but in philosophy and civics, of course, and ethics and all those other things. And the more mature they get, the more we have to expose them to some of those things.
Yeah, because I mean, at some point, right, they're going to be out of your household. And so I want my son to, know why he believes what he believes. Again, kind of getting back to the two whys for every what. Understanding the information, but then why is it that I believe this? And again, I would say we have nothing to fear by teaching evolutionary biology because we can refute those claims. We have the evidence to go back and support creation from a biblical worldview. So I have, in junior high, as you said, I've really, really appreciated the approach that has been taken in science, especially.
Yeah. And it was fascinating that, you know, because again, easy for me and maybe you, we've all grown up thinking, okay, if you don't have a good foundation, then yeah, when you do go off to a secular university, you're going to be challenged by men and women with PhDs who are going to say, nope, this is true. Christianity is wrong, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't have a good foundation, you're going to buy into those lies and you're going to get overwhelmed because you can't compete, right? You're an 18-year-old freshman going, man, I don't know. This guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He's just blah, blah, blah. But what was fascinating that, you know, we learned from the book with Sean McDowell was, you know, the vast majority of kids that were walking away from their faith were doing so between the ages of 10 and 17. And so they weren't getting the questions that they need long before they went to college, which, you know, was, again, that, it's just interesting that these 12, 13, 14-year-olds are already saying, oh, I've got some questions about this, not sure how it works. So can you answer it to, you know, we see them always on a day-to-day basis and we think, are you really thinking seriously about these subjects? But I think they are. And especially as they get into high school.
Yeah, it does. It resonates. I mean, I'm always impressed the conversations I have with my son, even from a really young age in elementary. And you bring up a good point with the age range. We already know Gen Z is the least religious generation. And then it's happening at a young age. And I think a lot of it is because there's so much competing for their attention and time. And going back to that parental responsibility and, with social media, they have these smartphones at a young age, they have their Chromebooks or their computers. There is just this onslaught of information that they are bombarded with. And so the school is part of it, but then, there's also, well, what is this YouTuber saying about this, or what is being posted on, TikTok? And so they're getting inundated with information, and they're really struggling to sort out the truth. I mean, lowercase t and capital case T as well. And so I think, again, coming back to the importance of Christian education, that for 7 hours a day, you have my child. Like that is so important to me, because I know he is being fed. I know he is being poured into, because now he also has to wrestle with the secular world that he is also constantly bombarded with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Information overload, I think, is what we've called it in several circles, that it causes anxiety. It causes strained relationships. It causes just some tension there that they get from this Gen Z dynamic. And I love it that you're speaking to Gen Z even at that college level. And I don't know if that's something that you guys study at Mount Vernon or you're doing that on your own. But the thought of colleges proactively saying, okay, what's the mentality of the generation that's coming to us? That's a big win, because you don't think of colleges doing that. You think of those guys, ivory tower, right? I do my little thing. I do molecular pathogenesis, and that's all I do. I don't really care who comes in the door. This content is king, right? That's the stereotypical what we see. I've got a publisher perish, I've got to work on my content. Give me a lab TA or something like that, to make this work. But I love that, it sounds like you and your colleagues are saying, no, let's consider the dynamic of this generation. What have they heard? What do they need from us? Relationships are going to be huge, right? They need reasonable explanations for the truth, and I need a relationship to deliver that with.
Yeah. I mean, MVNU is great at that. Like every year when we come back in the fall, we have a week of like workshops and bring in speakers, and we're always doing sessions and workshops related to the current generation. And even as the generation changes, generations have this age span, and there's shifts within that. So we are always very intentional with focusing on that. And it just helps us continue to deliver quality education, but also meet the needs of the current generation and the different ways that they're learning. And you talked about relationships. That's a big one for them. MVNU is really great at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I love that. I love that, because it can be complicated. And I think for parents, like I said, science can be scary. But you're probably going to be better at it than what you think, right? Knowing some truth principles and knowing where to find the truth, and then making sure it gets delivered with that relationship that really hits home. I think, McDowell said it relationships are the runway in which truth lands. And I thought, man, that's a great word picture, worry about that. Maybe even more with your children than the content, and make sure that they have those relationships who can deliver truth. And that may be you, and it may be the teacher, it may be the persons at church and things like that. But if you get in over your head, then make sure you give them those relationships that truth can be delivered, wherever that can be found. And hopefully if you have a Mansfield Christian or another school like that within driving distance, you can go that route. Or if you're homeschooling and you need to choose curriculum or something like that, most kids will believe what's put in front of them and will believe what the teacher puts forth there. And like you said, if I spend, 12, 13, 14 years and all of my science has never had any integration of God's word or his truth that he's built into the subject, well, what am I going to believe? Even those solid Christian kids have never been asked to make that connection between faith and knowledge.
Yeah. And you hit on an important point too with Christian education, is the relationship part. Because no matter how good your teacher is, you are not going to remember all the content, right? You're a great teacher, Dr. Smith. I don't remember everything you taught me, but I remember.
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up earlier, so I'll circle back.
That's right.
But again, I remember my teachers and I remember how they, you know, cared for me and prayed for me. And I mean, I had a solid education, obviously, but you will remember the relationship part and you will walk away with kind of the big picture type information. So again, when it comes, if we circle back to science, I'm going to approach it through the lens of God created, and I might not remember that all the detail. I won't test you on mitosis, but you're going to remember the intricacy of creation, that it had to have happened with intelligent design, that this could not have happened by random chance, that our universe is ordered. Like, you're going to walk away understanding those major concepts. And again, I think that's the important part.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Excellent. Couldn't have said it better. Again, proud to have been a part of that journey. So all those years ago, right? Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's been a few.
It's been a few. That's exactly right. Well, if they want to know more about your work or work at Mount Vernon, you know, and how can they best contact you or maybe follow along, or even if you say, hey, there's some resources out there you may want to look at or something like that, or anything in general that they could follow up in science. But any thoughts on that or just contact information?
Yeah. I mean, anyone that wants to have further discussions, feel free to reach out. I'm on LinkedIn. You can also find me on MVNU's website. Again, I'm in the Department of Biological, Physical, and Exercise Science. So I'm currently the department chair, or it's Carrie, Carrie.Beal at MVNU.edu. So any way you want to get a hold of me, I would be happy to have further conversations.
Well, thank you again for doing what you do. We're super proud of you again in Christian education and glad that you're doing what you're doing at Mount Vernon, and they're lucky to have you. And we hope that kids are able to get solid instructors like you that really understand these things, understanding their generation, and then supremely important, hey, how do we make sure that you're hearing this from a biblical worldview so you can defend the faith and you can obviously spread the kingdom. So that's a big deal. So thanks so much for being on our show today. We certainly appreciate that. And I trust that now you know more. And again, thank you for joining me on our podcast. But I trust that now you know more about how worldview impacts both what we teach and how we teach it, and how specifically then the Christian worldview chases hard after truth. Again, if you like the show, help us spread the word. I appreciate you following along, leaving a review, hit the subscribe button. Again, advancing our cause of Christian education. Because as I say all the time, the only way that we're going to turn things around in this country is to increase the number of people who live and operate every day with a biblical worldview. And the greatest hope that we have to get there is Christian education, either at Christian schools or in the home. So until next time, again, this is Dr. Cy Smith at Clearly Christian Education. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith. Hear more episodes at clearlychristianeducation.com. If you'd like more information about Christian education in your neighborhood, or if you're interested in education opportunities at Mansfield Christian School, or if you agree with Dr. Smith and want to help him in his mission to influence and awaken Christian America, you can send Dr. Smith an email through the clearlychristianeducation.com website. Message him on the Clearly Christian LinkedIn or Facebook page, or call the Clearly Christian Connection line at 419-756-5651. This has been the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith on clearlychristianeducation.com, brought to you in conjunction with Mansfield Christian School, a Bryan Media production.